Now, you're welcome back to part three of Religion Matters. I hope you're well this morning. Now, my final guest this morning is the Reverend Gillian Wharton, and she joins me to chat about the Church of Ireland General Synod. You're very welcome to Religion Matters.
Thank you very much.
Now, first of all, what exactly is a synod?
A synod is a meeting, a church meeting, and in the Church of Ireland, we have two levels of synod. First of all, each diocese would have its own diocesan synod once a year. So, for example, for the Diocese of Dublin and Glendalough, which covers Dublin, most of Wicklow and parts of East Kildare, they would have their own diocesan synod, which is like an annual general meeting of the diocese. Then Meath and Kildare, which will be obviously familiar to your listeners.
Yes.
The Diocese of Meath and Kildare covers Meath, West Meath, the rest of County Kildare, a little bit of Laois. They would all have their own diocesan synod, which is like an annual general meeting of the diocese, and that happens once a year. But then the General Synod is a meeting for 3 days, which is held every May, and it's like the annual general meeting of the Church of Ireland. And those who gather are elected by their diocese to represent their diocese. And for every deacon or priest that's elected by the diocese, there are two lay people. So the ordinary people have a bigger involvement, really, than the clergy in the General Synod, and it is the ultimate decision-making body for the Church of Ireland.
Okay, well, that's very comprehensively explained, and I'm a lot clearer now than I was this morning. So I presume that each year there's an agenda set and you have particular areas and points of business that you want to get through at each General Synod in May. And have you set some themes and some business that you want to kind of table at this particular Synod?
Well, there are standard things that will happen at every synod. So there are a number of committees that do work on behalf of the church throughout the year, which report to General Synod. So, for example, probably the two biggest ones would be a committee called the Standing Committee. And basically, it acts on behalf of the church in between General Synods. So for the rest of the year, the decision-making level for the church is Standing Committee. And it has kind of powers devolved to it by synod and can act on behalf of the church. So Standing Committee makes a report every year to General Synod. It reports on the work that it has done. And there may be some things that they will bring to General Synod to ask for a decision or to ask them to guide them as to what might happen in the next year for a particular piece of work. And then there's also every year the report of the representative body, which is kind of the administration on the finance side of the church. So, you know, those who would look after the financial end of it, again, there are elected people onto that committee, and that would also make a report every year to General Synod.
Yeah.
So what happens when a report is made, there's a proposer who speaks for 15 minutes, there's a seconder who would speak for 10, and then it is open to discussion. So anybody from the floor who is a member of General Synod can get up and ask for clarification or can make a comment about anything within the report. So there's those two big ones. And then also other committees would make reports to General Synod every year. For example, the Commission on Christian Unity and Interfaith Matters would make a report on their work every year. The Council for Mission would make a report. The Church of Ireland Youth Department, the Marriage Council. So there's a number of committees that would report to Synod every year on their work and may also then ask for decisions to be made or for guidance as to what they might do in the year ahead.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a very, very busy 3 days.
It is a very busy day, 3 days. I mean, there's a lot of things that are sort of businessy that have to be looked after and done. But then you also hope that there are things that are a little bit more creative. So, you know, one of the big things of this year is that we will have a breakout session on the second day, and this is looking at the area of mission within the church. So we will be splitting up and into smaller groups so that people can actually communicate more easily and look at the vision and mission for the church. Last year we broke into little groups looking at episcopacy and our understanding of bishops and our vision for the role of bishop within the church. And those are probably the more creative sides of synod when we can break up into little groups and to do that.
Yeah, and do you have guest speakers and a keynote address as well?
Well, the president of the General Synod, which is the Archbishop of Armagh, gives a presidential address, and that's the first piece of business that happens on the first day of Synod in the morning. So he gives the presidential address, which is a keynote address. Now, we also would have ecumenical visitors to the General Synod, and they would bring greetings from their church and may, you know, sometimes give something a little bit more meaty than just greetings in their speech. But we don't really have a visiting speaker who would come in specifically to address Synod. There might be little things happening around Synod that would have speakers, such as, for example, there's a mission breakfast on the Friday morning, and the speaker at that mission breakfast is the Right Reverend Justin Baddie, who's the Bishop of Maridi in South Sudan.
Yeah.
So there would be things as well happening around Synod at the same time, sometimes maybe early in the morning, sometimes later on, sometimes at lunchtime, that would be going on as well.
And I suppose it's an important time for, networking, for colleagues to get together. But I presume that you come away from a Synod with a lot of food for thought, a lot of sort of, enrichment of your, your faith, your path of faith, and also your own personal mission in the work that you do, for example, in your own case, in Booterstown and Mount Marion and the like.
And probably sometimes more so from some synods than from others.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can have synods that are really, you know, quite about the kind of business of the church and a lot of kind of reporting. And so, for example, you know, in line with a lot of other organisations, our pension fund was in trouble. So we had a synod which was a lot about how the pension needed to be structured. And again, this had to have the permission and the vote of synod to decide, you know, what route would it would go down. This would be the pension fund for the clergy. So I'm not sure it was the most enriching or spiritually uplifting synod, but it was something that had to be done. You know, and we're very grateful to those people who have an expertise in that area, who managed to get us through it and explain it to us and help us to make the right decisions. But sometimes, you know, you'll have different things happening that really just give you such a buzz. Mm. And one of those that will be happening this year is the vote to do with the mutual recognition of orders, in other words, ordination between the Methodist Church in Ireland and the Church of Ireland. We've been working for the last number of years with the Methodist Church in Ireland to look at how we can grow together. Methodism originally started out of Anglicanism many years ago, and we've been working for the last long number of years at how we can, you know, work together more fully. And last year there was the first part of the bill. A bill is like in the parliamentary system, if you want something to change within the constitution of the Church of Ireland, or maybe doctrinally. And so this first part of the bill came, which was that we would recognise the interchangeability of ministry between the Church of Ireland and the Methodist Church in Ireland. And it was a landmark decision. And I have to say, I thought last year it was one of the most moving things that I have been at in General Synod, and that will go to the next stage this year. So that's one of the things that gives you a little lift in saying, actually, the work of God actually does get a look in at General Synod, because sometimes you wonder where it is.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it sounds like it's going to be a busy 3 days, as I said, and hopefully you'll get much food for thought from it. I've enjoyed hearing all about the structure and what happens at a synod, and I'm sure our listeners have too. Reverend Gillian Wharton, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Not at all. You're very welcome. Thank you.